Leather gloves, we're slapping in hams, popcorn and peanuts, we're working the stands, pink cotton candy, love on a stick, was chasing the beer, the trick of the lips, play ball, play ball. Load up the bases and smack it right over the wall.
Good evening. Welcome to the Left to Save Lives radio show. My name is Johnny LaRocchia. Tonight we have our regular co-hosts, both John Santo and Tara Brown. Hello, team.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Tara's voice is always right, so much better than the two of us. We should just let her talk for an hour 1 week.
Mm-mm.
What do you think? No?
We should.
Mm-mm.
We really should.
I do 50 voices, but hers is better.
I agree. Do you do any female voices, by the way, do you?
I do Dustin Hoffman from Tootsie and Sarah Palin.
Okay, Sarah Palin. All right. We had a good week, I think, the three of us, just following. It's so much fun to be able to – I love Facebook. A lot of people – I get sick of it sometimes because I get like, jealous and depressed.
Why do you get jealous?
People are doing better stuff than me, and, you know, it's just my own little hang-up. You know, I have to get off of it.
Here's a tip. When you don't have a lot of shows for a couple of weeks, stay the fuck off it.
It's not even shows. You know, we can't use the word shows on the air,
oh,
by the way.
Sorry, yeah. I guess. Sorry.
We can bleep it out.
We can bleep it out in post-production.
Sorry. Yeah, Don just fell off his chair.
Sorry.
No problem. Yeah, but Facebook could be...
Wait, but what are you jealous about?
I don't be jealous. I mean, Facebook can get overwhelming at times. I don't do much. You know, we don't do a lot of stuff as a family. I don't get the money to run around. And I'm looking at some people who are going 4 or 5 vacations a year, and I'm like, I don't care.
Right.
I don't care. You know, if it's somebody that I know really needs a vacation.
One of my friends said it the best, a Facebook friend of mine. He said, before you post something, think about, is it for the poster or for the reader?
Yeah.
That is excellent advice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very good.
And so, I've a lot more responsible in my posts.
I have to be honest that there are times that I use Facebook as a friend. Like if I'm feeling down or I need some feedback on something, I do use it. And I don't know if that's the best use of it, but I know when other people do that, they're down, I like to respond and, hey, right, everything's going to be fine. So, right. But anyway, let's move forward.
Can I tell you one more thing on that subject?
No more.
Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I can't. Oh, okay. Yeah, so when I, what was it, the situation where somebody complimented me? When I was flying first class to Chicago, I was very nice to the gate agent. I thanked him for checking. I was short on the miles to upgrade, but I was very nice, and they upgraded me anyway. My friend complimented me because she said, you didn't write it like, oh, look at me, I'm flying first class. You were like, oh, thank you for checking. You were very polite, and you were short on the miles. And then the woman reconsidered and said, oh, you're really nice, was short on the seat, and they did it anyway. But you said it like as a form of gratitude, not, oh, look at me, I'm in, you know. And that's what Facebook has become. It's a look at me instead of share good stories that are make people's lives better.
Yeah, I think I should have told you not to share that. That was a little much.
Okay. All right, sorry, understand.
I love you. Anything you want to share, lovely Tara, from your week?
Well, I went to the Giant Jet preseason game and cried the whole way home because the Giants just looked horrible, man.
Preseason.
I don't care. Eli was horrible. And
they went 5-0 last year and the season sucked, so don't worry about preseason.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I feel like that. I don't know. Honestly, I'm quite the girl when it comes to, well, except for Amory. When it comes to sports, I enjoy the game, I watch the game, but I don't really know who's what number or anything like that. So whoever the second quarterback was in the second half did much better. I feel like Eli should have been taking
crazy
notes.
You don't go crazy, like you're not one of those.
Oh, I go crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know stats and I don't know numbers. Like I just know names sometimes.
It's the preseason. You're getting to know new players and you're getting back into football. So it's,
right,
by week one, I expect you to know everybody on the team.
Yeah.
Oh, two things happened to me this week that I'm tooting my own horn. I had a very nice interview on PBS for Laugh to Save Lives.
You just said not to toot your own horn on Facebook. I'm kidding.
I,
I'm kidding you.
That's exactly how I put it on Facebook. I'm about to toot my own horn.
And
you know,
because you do a lot of things for a lot of people.
No, yes.
And I'm glad that you posted that.
Many people do a lot of things, but it's something that I'm proud of, you know. And I thought the interview, I came out without looking like an ass. You know my logic when I go on TV?
Yes.
Don't look like an ass. And after it was over, I think I got some good information out. I have the space. It's horrible watching yourself on TV. Horrible. You notice everything you do wrong, every stutter. You know, people going, oh, you look great. And I'm like, oh, my God, I look like an ass.
You know, we watch it over and over and over again, right? And you see more things wrong.
We're always our own worst critic.
I watched it 50 times so far. No, I haven't.
Hey, and even Al Pacino doesn't like to watch himself, so.
No, yeah, me and Al Pacino, very, very simple. Both have
you're very, very much like Al Pacino.
You think?
Yes.
Very kind to you. The other thing that happened to me this week is I had to go back to Mount Sinai Hospital, another biopsy. Right, the first time I went there, they said, oh, we took a biopsy. Everything looks good. Everything looks good. They do the surgery. They cut the thing out. Oh, you had a little bit of cancer in there. So now she says, everything looks good. Everything. And I looked at the doctor and I go, you know what you said last time, right? And what was really weird is they do the biopsy. They did it right in front of me and they put it on the slide. And the two of them get out their microscopes and they're looking at my cells right in front of me. And they're doing, you know how they do that? And they look, and I'm going, huh? You're like, what?
Oh.
I'm going, hey, what?
Yeah, that's messed up.
It was messed up. Supposedly.
That's not cool.
No, it wasn't.
No, that's not cool.
But so far, everything looks good. I should be okay. And we move forward. Stephen Colbert, a week away, right? About a week away. Are you a big late night talk show person?
I haven't watched late night talk show in years.
Johnny Carson was my favorite. I love Johnny Carson. I think he was the best. When he was bad, he was the best.
Yes.
When he's having an off night, he could turn that into gold. So I'm curious to see Stephen Colbert. Right now, who's your favorite talk show host?
I don't watch it. I don't watch it. Jimmy Fallon, once in a while.
I watch him once in a while.
I work in Manhattan. I got to be in bed.
I have to tell you, this guy that took over late nights, the kind of chubby guy from what the frig is his name? He's very good. He has all different. He sings in a car with stars, and he's really good. I can't think of his name.
Who is that?
No clue.
He's on late late. He's on at 12:30. I think he replaced Jimmy Fallon.
I thought Stephen Colbert replaced Jimmy Fallon.
All right, we'll figure it out. I think we should have. I don't have Don in front
We're
of me.
Fire the research here. Department.
Hold on. We got to get this open. We have Mike. All right, let's put Mike. Mike is on line one. Mike, you there?
I'm there, buddy. How you doing?
All right. Now, let me tell you a little something about Mike's team. Mike, we have Tara here and John S. So say hello to
guys,
that, Mike.
How you doing?
Mike is – I'm going to embarrass now. Mike is one of my heroes. Retired FDNY, was working at Squad 18 – which is one of the busier rescue type squad type units. A fireman's fireman, not like me, a real hero. I just
Get
watched Mike
here.
Tried to follow in his footsteps. But Mikey, you're on our segment this morning. Never forget. Tell us about one of the guys that you worked with. Could be the squad. Mike also worked with me in Hazmat One. He was great with the meters and teaching people stuff. One guy you worked with from one of those companies. That we're kind of close with. Tell us a little bit about him in our Never Forget segment.
Well, you kind of put me on the spot, but, you know, I really researched this. I thought about it in my mind. And some of the stories I just can't tell. Even the IB in jail, those guys, if they were still here, he'd be in jail. But the one impressive story I could tell is
Good.
The battalion chief from Battalion 1-2, Freddie Sheffel. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
You guys are coming in broken up.
I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, the battalion chief, Freddie Sheffel. He was really a fireman's fireman. I remember him being up at Battalion 1-2, 35 engine and 14 truck. And then he must have been promoted through the ranks. And he became battalion chief at Battalion 1-2 and talked to the friends I still had up there in the 12th Battalion. He responded down to the trade center as a chief. And I'm not sure which tower he was in initially, but I could think, you know, I think where he was. But apparently the first tower came down and he was buried in that. The guys finally got to him. This is like a funny story, but not a funny story. The guys got to him as he was maybe, I'm going to say, 10, 12, 15 feet down. And say, hey, Chief, how you doing? They're talking back and forth. He says, hey, just do me a favor. Send me down a pack of cigarettes. And that was that kind of guy he was. Just keeping it light. He was trapped.
Yeah.
But he was trapped down in the rubble. Send me down a pack of cigarettes. But
well, how many guys do we know, Mike, fire's down under control. You see them smoking. Yeah. You can see is the cigarette glowing in there.
Oh, yeah. And he was that kind of fireman. He was great. But he's down in the rubble. And then I'm assuming, the story goes, that the second tower came down, caused all kind of chaos, and the guys there had to leave him for a bit, and they came back to the area they think he was at.
Couldn't
find him.
You there, Mike?
We lost you after the
area. They got back to the area they thought he was at. They couldn't find him.
Okay. Mm. Did they ultimately find him? Or was he lost?
I think down the road they might have.
Okay, good. Good.
But no one hit me. To me, that's a funny story. It's like kind of ironic here. Hey, guys, send me down a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, no, that is... I'll tell you something Mike was good for. Mike, I'm going to embarrass you a little bit here. You ready?
Talk to me.
Mike was the kind of guy who walked past you, hey, Johnny, how you doing? He had one hand up here, the other hand was down low. And bing, bing, he used to rattle your cage a little bit down there. Hey, Johnny Beast! You know? Mikey's out in Iowa now, and he wants to bring us out there to do some shows.
Come on down.
All right, so what part of Iowa are you in, Mike?
We're like, say, give or take, 50 miles east and south of Omaha.
Oh, that's our prime area.
Omaha. You know what's in Omaha?
Come on down, baby.
No, there's a lot in Omaha.
Jeez.
No.
There's steaks.
Yeah.
There's enough in Omaha. You guys come down with it. I'll show you a town.
Air Force
Bomb. It's not really a bad place. It's not Long Island. It's not the city, but it's nice.
Thanks.
You're not going to get caught in traffic.
There's a base there. I'll go there.
All right, Mike. Perfect. I knew you'd come through for me. Thanks for calling in for 5 minutes, taking the time out of your busy day out there milking the cows or whatever the frig you're doing in Iowa.
I'm counting the corn, babe. I'm counting the corn.
Hopefully he's not rattling their cages.
That's right.
Say what?
Hopefully you're not rattling the cows' cages, you know, with your little hello.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
All right. You have a good night, Mike.
Robin, my wife, keeps me in line.
Have a good night, Mike.
Okay, buddy. Talk to you later.
All right. Let's say hello to Andrew. Andrew on line two. Hello,
hey,
Andrew.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Andrew.
I'm here.
Where are you
I wanna
from?
Say hi. I'm from New York.
Yeah.
Like the big city of New York, well, Queens.
I've heard of Queens. I grew up there in Middle Village, Queens.
I'm near Nassau County, like Bellows area. That's where I am at.
Okay. And what are you calling about tonight?
I talked to one of your cast. I believe it was Imarie. She probably knows me from the one of the performances that. From a foam cycle instructor.
Did you see Amory perform?
Yes, we met once. That was in May of this past year.
Very good. And did she make you laugh?
Well, we were at a concert, at a friend's concert. That's how we met.
Well, thanks for calling in. Did you listen to
anything? I was going to talk about the sports thing. I was going to speak my mind on the sports.
Yeah, Amory is on at about 8:30. If you want to call back and comment on something that she discusses, she usually brings up a bunch of really good points.
All right, then I'll call back at 8:30 then.
You got it, handsome. Let's bring in on Jamie on line three. We got callers, guys.
What?
We got callers left and right. Jamie.
Yes, John.
Hello, Tech Sergeant Jamie Kincaid.
Hello, how are you?
24 years, 10 months in the military. She served in Turkey and Kuwait, more dangerously, Montana.
Yes.
And she's retiring in, what, a few days, Jamie?
September 27th.
And Jamie said, why do you want me to call in? This is why I wanted you to call in. You're one of my heroes, and I wanted to congratulate you and thank you for your service.
Aw, thanks, John.
Now, you thought I was going to make fun of you or pick on you. Now you don't know what to say, right?
I'm sure it's coming.
Now, if she was a technical sergeant, is that Air Force?
Yes.
Do I know my ranks or what?
You do.
Ranks? You mean branches. No, you mean ranks. Yeah, that's
true. Air Force is the only branch with technical sergeants.
Ah, okay.
I'm not just a pretty face. I know a few things.
No, you're not a pretty face either.
That's why I know a few things.
And no, I didn't fly airplanes.
No, you didn't.
What did you do?
Everybody thinks that you're in the Air Force. You fly airplanes.
No, very few people do. What did you do?
Security police.
Wow.
She's tough.
She's tough. We Jamie's tough. Nice.
I actually had Jamie in one of my classes in outside of Atlanta, right, Jamie?
No, at Telford in Michigan.
Oh,
outside of Detroit.
That's how dumb New Yorkers are. Same thing to me. Anything out that way is same thing. And you, at that time, you were serving as what?
I was in our supply and mobility section at that time.
All right. So what are you going to do with your retirement?
I think I'm going to become a substitute teacher for a while and rest and relax and enjoy life.
Yes, that's what substitute teachers do. They go into the classroom and they rest and relax usually.
Yes.
Compared to what she's done in the military, it'll be a cakewalk.
Oh, she's
although maybe not.
She could kick butt, though.
That's right.
Well, she could. She'll kick those students' asses.
Yeah. Well, we just wanted to. I wanted you to call in just to thank you for your 24 years, 10 months of service.
Yeah, God bless.
Yeah, God bless, and enjoy your retirement. Enjoy your new line of work.
I will. Thank you.
And stay in touch, Jamie.
I will, John.
All right. Thanks for calling. You want to read that commercial, Tara? Safe Health Educators?
Okay, so, Safe Health Educators, saving time, money, and lives. Safe Health Educators was founded to provide services and education that provide individuals with a first-class education and student experience. They also provide services to address the needs of their business customers and help them maintain compliance of all federal, state, and local regulations. The Education Department teaches all American Heart Association courses, defensive driving, CVO, which is coaching the emergency vehicle operator, NIMS, National Incident Management System, hazardous materials awareness, and operations, and much more. They'll work with you and your business to pass any accreditation and or certification surveys. They specialize in OSHA regulation classes, compliance for hospitals, power plants, construction sites, and more. Their instructors come with a variety of backgrounds and have an extensive experience. Their staff consists of hospital executives, physician's assistants, paramedics, registered nurses, firefighters, and police officers. They're seasoned leaders in their respective fields and have taught in almost every state across the U.S. and abroad. Let Safe Health Educators save you time, money, and especially lives.
Now, Safe Health Educators was one of our sponsors for the Moms Gone Wild show, John.
Mm-hmm.
And that show,
that was a great show.
We had a packed house. We did announce them from the stage. We're going to do some work with Safe Health Educators in the future. My daughter and I recently took a wonderful defensive driving class from Safe Health Educators. They did a very nice job.
Yeah, well, both of you guys need it. So
we both needed it, or at least one of us needed it. I'm not going to say who that was. But it was nice.
In my car.
Did you hear about this story? I don't know if we brought this up last week. I had it as a leftover, I think. A Chinese tech company is hiring cheerleaders for their office.
I've heard that. Yes,
I love that. Wouldn't that be great if you're sitting at your desk and it was like, go, Johnny, go, right? We want another call just like the other call. Make it. Like if you were a salesman or something. What do you think about that, Tara? She wasn't listening, she said.
This is why they're beating us.
An hour we have her. And she wasn't listening.
This is why they're beating us, the Chinese, because they're innovating.
But you like that idea?
Totally.
Yeah? Tara?
I was talking to our engineer, so I'm sorry. I wasn't really paying attention to your conversation.
Is this something that I...
Nope. You're good. I got it. We're good.
Okay. So Chinese tech company has cheerleaders in the office.
Oh.
What do you think about that idea?
It depends. I'm guessing it's a male-based business.
No. Wait a second.
No.
We didn't say if it was male-female.
I would
male.
Look, I could inspire females if I had like my pom poms.
Well, the men wear pants and sweaters, and the girls have short skirts and tank tops on. So you can send a topless guy in. I'll be more than happy to work harder for that.
Okay. All right. All right.
I don't know if work harder is the right term.
How about we bring in Matthew? Matthew, I see what you were doing with Don, by the way. I'm looking at your messages. You and our engineer in Los Angeles. She's not even paying attention to the show. The two of them here are I don't know what they were doing here, but it's not pretty.
They're doing production work essential to the operation of the show.
Did you read what they were doing here? Do you see any production?
I'm focused on my job, which is to co-host. I'm not. She's got the time to do that, and she does it very well. Everybody has a function. She's the navigator. I'm the co-pilot. I'm flying the airplane. She tells me where we are.
Let's bring in our guest, Matthew. Matthew is on line one. Hello, Matthew.
How are you?
Matthew, you listening to this nonsense here?
I am. And actually, I wanted to tell you, the late night host that you're thinking of is, I believe it's James Corden.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. That's all
we
needed.
He took over for Jimmy Fallon. Yeah.
Matthew, thank you very much. Thank you for calling in. No, I'm kidding. You're right. Is he not doing a good job?
He does. He does a very good job. He took over for Fallon when Jimmy took over The Tonight Show.
Yes. Is that what I said? I didn't say Fallon.
He did say that before. No, he said that before. He did.
And some of the stuff, and he does something very interesting. He has two guests. He interviews them at the same time.
It's an interesting format. I think that a lot of the older guys don't like that. You know, it's interesting. But the late night format has pretty much been the same for so long. It's a nice breath of fresh air. We'll see how it lasts. He's got Fallon as his lead-in. It's never going to be a bad one. So,
what do you think about that format? I don't know how old you are, what generation
you're from. I think it's fun. And the guests that are coming on know the format.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. You're not surprising them. And that's,
right.
That's the bottom line. They know what it is going in. It's not like the I don't know if you watched the Eric Andre show. Eric Andre is a comedian, and he was doing a show where he and his co-host, they knew that they were basically going to be screwing with the guests, but the guests didn't know it. And a lot of them were getting upset. They were walking off the show, which was hilarious. You know, he would do it to Paris Hilton or Maria Menounos, but the thing was is they didn't know. With James, they know the format going in. So,
but over time, if that was his format, wouldn't they know if they watched the show at all or heard about it later on?
The thing is that they weren't getting A-list guests. They weren't getting. Mm-hmm. They weren't on a major network. I think they were on Adult Swim. You know,
kind of like us
on the Cartoon Network. Nobody was watching, but they would call and say, "Oh, well, you know what? We have a talk show on Comedy Central," and mm-hmm. someone like a Kim Kardashian, who just loves to be a guest on television. It doesn't matter where she's not going to watch and research, and she goes on, and they just decide to, you know, give each other a haircut while they're interviewing her, and she's looking at them like they're completely insane.
Yeah. That's because she's a moron and she doesn't take the time to know what's going on before
and
she does.
And she, yeah, she's.
I'm not a big fan of Fallon, and what I mean by that is it's not that I dislike him, I'm just not a big fan. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But I'm falling in love with this guy and what he's doing. He sings in the car. Did you see him singing the other day in the car with Rod Stewart?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was hysterical. And he and Rod Stewart singing his own songs. They're like driving and he does a little interview. Then they sing another song and he's in the car.
That's not original. We sing in the car all the time.
He does it. He does a very nice job. So let's talk. Who is Matthew? I mean, we're talking to Matthew here. Who is Matthew? I'm going to tell you a little bit about Matthew. Matthew is a doctor. You're a chiropractor, correct, Matthew?
Correct. Correct.
Dr. Chiropractor. He's a Boston Red Sox fan.
That is correct.
You just beat us 2 out of 3, so we're not too.
He's a Red Sox fan.
We're Mets fans.
We have no beef with them.
He just beat us 2 out of 3, though. So.
I'm the Yankee fan. You got to remember.
Yeah.
Well, I just left the bar actually watching the Red Sox and Yankees play.
What score?
You're up. You're up 1-0 so far.
Well, all
wait,
right.
She's not up anything. She's up.
We appreciate you drinking before you come on the show.
No problem. Well, it's 25-cent wings. I never. That's my Monday night. My brother and I, 25-cent wings at this place.
So you have a specialty of functioning neuro. You primarily treat patients with neuromusculoskeletal disorders. I can't believe I was able to say that. Headaches, numbness, tingling, sprains, strains, all body parts. And what's also funny is he says, I also do, hold on, I'm turning the page. Should I have it ready there? Well, he said, I also do stand-up comedy. And basically, he's doing the doctor stuff until a stand-up comedy career takes off.
Yeah,
and he's also an EMT.
He's also an EMT.
Tara, what did you say?
I said you're also an EMT.
Yeah, I don't work as an EMT. Unfortunately, the hours, because I see patients until 6 o'clock, and most of the EMT shifts are 6 to 12 or 12 to 6 for a lot of the places here in Rhode Island. I'm not able to really do that. I actually got my EMT license so that I could be a volunteer firefighter, and then I run into this problem where they say, well, you need to be here by 6. Well,
really?
I work until 6:15, so
yeah,
I can't do that.
That's a problem I had, too. Yeah.
And
really?
So I just hold on to the EMT license right now, and at some point, hopefully, I'll be able to get on and volunteer and give back some more to the community if I can.
I was a volunteer fireman too, Matthew, and I had to stop because I was working, you know, till later in the day, and I couldn't maintain my percentage.
It's very,
but
very
you would think
tough.
Somebody
you
like
don't
it, who's an EMT,
to
a doctor, start. Who has a specialty, they'd find a way to incorporate him somehow into the organization. I mean, this is a...
I was never a volunteer, so I don't understand this. What if he's available at midnight? I mean,
right. So you have to, in my department, you have to answer a percentage. Well, Tara knows. You have to answer
no,
a percentage.
Yeah. You have to do a percentage, but I never had a time that I had to be there by. It was,
no,
you know.
You just have to answer 12.
Yeah.
Most of the calls
Rhode Island is a unique area. We've kind of run our own rules in Rhode Island, and none of it makes sense. Matter of fact, I believe. We were one of the only states that still has because you have the EMT basic, and then you have your EMT cardiac, and then paramedic. And Rhode Island is one of the only states that I think next year they're finally getting rid of. It was just an intermediate.
Yeah.
So you're in Rhode Island.
It didn't make any sense. You couldn't do everything that a cardiac could, but you could do more than a basic, but your license didn't transfer anywhere else. It was additional certification that was literally not valid in any other state.
Matthew, can I ask you a question? Why is it called Rhode Island if it's attached to the mainland of the United States? It's not an island.
Well, the actual state's name is the state of Rhode Island and the Providence Plantations. So actually, most of what's attached to the United States is a continental state, was the Providence Plantations, and Rhode Island was Block Island, Nantucket, Nantucket, Prudence Island, and a series of islands. Rhode Island has a vast majority. I don't know exactly how many miles of coastline, but it's a lot higher than a lot of other states. It's somewhere in the middle because of all the islands that are technically part of Rhode Island. And interestingly enough, I forgot the organization that was trying to get the state name changed because they felt that having a state named the state of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations harkens back to slave days and it's racist. And it was a big, huge uproar because people basically were saying, look, that's our state's name. It's our state's history. We're not changing that. It doesn't mean
Very
beautiful. I've been to Block Island on my airplane. It's beautiful there.
I never knew that, though.
It's very interesting. But Block
Island, Block Island is gorgeous. 15
miles from Montauk. You could see Block Island from Montauk Point.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah, it's 14 nautical miles.
All right, let's talk about.
Oh,
go ahead.
I've been to no questions. I was going to say I've been to Rhode Island a few times. My ex-husband used to serve with the 173rd up there, so we would go up there once a month, and he would do his drill, and I would visit, you know, the different areas up there, and I loved it up there. It's beautiful.
You were up in, were you up in Quonset?
In yes, I want to say they disbanded the unit recently, so.
I think she just did one of those. I don't know where I was. I'll just say yes.
No, I can't remember.
She just did one of those.
I did. But, you know, it was one of the things that was funny is he was from New York, and most everyone was from Massachusetts or from Rhode Island. Uh-huh. And they, when they were deployed overseas to Iraq, the Super Bowl with the Giants and Patriots were going.
Which
and
one?
He was the
2008, probably, right?
2012.
Was it the undefeated season?
She doesn't know that. If
you listened earlier, I'm really bad with stats, so I don't know.
Was it 91 with the Bills?
No. Maybe I just imagined that it was the Giants and Patriots. I just know the Patriots were in the Super Bowl, and it was 2005.
Yeah, it wasn't the Giants, and they were in 08.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no. So, 2004, 2005, but he was like the underdog. He hated
it. The Giants, man, huh? You know, all the Super Bowls that they were in.
Yeah, I know. Listen. I just drink my beer on Sunday and Monday, eat my wings, and cheer for the Giants.
So, Matt, let me get back to Matthew. Matthew.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about what made you decide. We all have different reasons we went into comedy. I know John has his reasons. I have mine. What made you decide? Was it before you ever were a chiropractor? You said, hey, someday I want to do stand-up, or is it something that hit you one day?
Yeah, it was well before I started. I've always been a fan of comedy. My father is a huge comedy fan. He grew up loving Don Rickles, watching. I know you guys were talking earlier about late night. He loved Johnny Carson.
Loved.
And he always loved stand-up comedy. And when I turned, when I graduated eighth grade, and officially was entering high school, he gave me a gift, and it was tickets to go see George Carlin. And we went and saw George at the Providence, it was called the Warwick Musical Tent. It's since been knocked down, but it had been around for 50 years. Sinatra played there, Dean Martin was there, and Rickles and all that. We got to see George Carlin, and that's when I truly, truly fell in love with it. That was the first time I saw a stand-up comedian live. I had watched them on TV. I had a little cassette. I had Eddie Murphy's Raw. I had some Sam Kinison. He loved Kinison. I remember calling my father when I found out Kinison died and hearing him choke up on the phone because he knew that that meant he was never going to get to take me to see him. And that's
right.
Why he started thinking about, okay, you know what, then I'm going to take him to see George Carlin. Because he loves Carlin so much. We ended up seeing him 8 years in a row until he died.
Wow.
And,
how long are you doing stand-up?
Well, I started, the very first time I did a stand-up act was 1998. I was in college. I bombed miserably. It was the worst act I think anyone has ever done. The material was awful. The timing was horrible. Everything about it was awful. I took some time off. Went back when I was in med school, and I took a lot of time off, actually. I took almost 8 years off, and really figured, all right, you know what, this isn't it. I'm a fan, and that's all it is. But then I kind of had that bug. You know you have that bug. You want to be on stage. And I entered a talent show for our med school, and I won. I ended up doing 20. We were supposed to do 10 minutes. I ended up doing 25 minutes because people were laughing, so I kept giving them time. And I absolutely loved it. It was filthy. I would never really do that again, but it was funny.
Are you on YouTube?
That is not on YouTube because at the time I made it a point. I do want it one day. It's an extreme pipe dream because I don't think I'll ever have the money for it. I would love to run for president or for an Senate or something. And at the time I was like, I can't run for president and have a video out there of me talking about, you know, watching porn.
Right.
I can't do that. So
you'll
now
win.
It doesn't matter. But
no,
at the time,
win.
I thought that would hinder your candidacy.
No, Clinton.
co-op.
No, you'll pick up, Matt, you'll get California's 55 electoral votes, no problem.
Exactly. I'll end up getting more of that. I'll have the entire adult film industry.
I would love to see one of your videos. You know, I book a lot of shows, so, you know, we're doing
them
all over the place.
Well, I should have some more. Jumping ahead real quick, and then I'll go back. I was just at Stand Up New York on Saturday. I should be getting that video within a week, and it's supposed to be a good quality. The reason I've never really put up videos is most of the videos that I have were people just kind of filming it on their cell phone. So it's a poor quality.
Right.
I'm not going to
put
that
online. Yeah, no, you got to have a quality. Yeah.
So I should have a really nice quality video, and what I'll do is I'll message it to you. And,
absolutely.
Just send me a friend request on Facebook, and we'll definitely get you that. But
so let you know, we have about a minute.
Okay. All right. So basically, after I did that, I was so nervous about doing stand-up as a doctor. I talked to a good friend of mine. He was a pediatrician. He said, just don't invite your patients to your shows. If you see them, that means they're a fan of comedy. That's fine. So I got back into it 2 years ago, and this year I've really been doing, you know, at least 4 or 5 shows a month, if not more. And it's really been picking up. I got to get out to New York City and really do some more with A. Marie. And
well, good. And if we come up that way, you know, I'm more than happy to give you a spot on the show, you know, a spot.
Absolutely.
And, we appreciate you calling in. We have a few more people on the line, so I hate to cut you short, but stay in touch. And,
absolutely.
We really
anytime
appreciate
you want.
All right.
Anytime,
thanks, Matthew.
My friend. Thank
all right,
you
be well. Thanks for calling in.
You got it.
All right, let's bring on Frank quick. Line 3.
Hey, how are you, John?
All right, Frankie, how are you? Thank you for holding.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show. I was listening. He said he doesn't have good quality from the video from the cell phones. It sounds like he just needs to get a better cell phone than quality tape. But
shoot on his cell phone.
You know, John said something earlier. I think about people how they put everything out on Facebook. And I do that, and I do that for a reason because I love to get a reaction out of people. So I just post the most outrageous stuff. Some of it's true, some of it's not. It's all up to you to figure out which is and which isn't. So that's what I enjoy Facebook for that reason. You know, I know a lot of people show off and brag about it. It is a lot of look at me, but sometimes that's not so bad.
No. Some of the stuff is kind of fun. You know, you're trying to kill some time, and it brings a little smile to your face. That's what I try to do. Hey, I do some of that look at me stuff. And after I post something, maybe I shouldn't have put that. But in general, I try not to do that.
Well, what did you say one day? You said, it may not have been you, the day after a show, it's like on Sunday morning you read about all the comedians that killed last night. It's like, you never see any comedian say, I had a crappy set last night, you know.
Only, you know, Gary catches them with that sometimes. He'll be honest. He'll say, last night's show sucked or whatever. And I respect that, you know. We all have those things. So what else did you want to talk about? You were listening for a little while there.
Yeah, I listened for a little bit. You know, this is actually first time listener. I actually can admit that this is the first time, John, that I've actually tuned into your show, and it's quite enjoyable.
Thank you very
and
much.
I don't need to say with such
a surprise. Tell friends. Spread the word.
Yeah, spread the word. Spread the word.
Absolutely. You know what? It'll be look at me all over Facebook.
Yeah, well, at least post up tomorrow about it.
Yes, I'll post something about it. Well, I'll get a recording and I'll put it on there.
So I don't want to cut you short. We have our part-time bro on the what?
Can I ask him a question, though?
I
understand, Frank, that you train at a gym training for warriors in Belmore. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Because I do a lot of stuff for veterans. Is it that or is it MMA?
Well, it's a system that was it's not warriors in the sense of soldiers and veterans and stuff like that. It's Training for Warriors, which was created by Martin Rooney, who is now down in North Carolina. But he created a system which was a system designed to train fighters.
Mm.
But we do not do martial arts in the gym.
Okay.
So our workout is
geared to the
way.
It's in the neighborhood, so we may check that out.
All the cardio.
Yeah, I may check that out.
It's a great place, and
say that again, Frank.
Come down.
Sorry.
I'd be very happy to. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Broke up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't look like this just sitting around, but I still may go down there and check it out. I'm a big workout guy, right, John? Right, my physique. I'm pretty good.
Oh, you're going to be on the cover of Muscle and Fitness in about 10 years.
There we go. So I'm a mess, is basically what he's saying.
He's in very good shape.
Before and after.
Well, yeah, maybe I'll see you down here. Thank you for calling in. We're going to bring on our part-time bro.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank
Hello.
You.
Frank. Hello.
Part-time bro song. Part-time bro.
Tara, part-time John, bro. And John, how you doing?
Din-a-din-a, part-time bro. Hello, Anne-Marie. How are things?
Oh, fantastic. Tara, I was trying to listen the last, since 8. You said you went to a Super Bowl?
No. No.
Oh,
no, I didn't go to the Super Bowl.
I
got everything mixed up about the Super Bowl. I talked about my ex-husband, and then
I
did this year was go to the Jets-Giants preseason game. That was it.
I thought you said you went to a Super Bowl in 2000-something. I was like... Oh my God!
No,
so lucky.
I thought Tara knew more about sports because I do follow her on Facebook. But basically, she didn't know she went to the Jets Giants game until she got home. And
hey.
Her boyfriend said, Tara, you went to the Jets Giants game. She goes, "Oh, that was good."
Do not listen.
Amory has a lot of things. We should probably let her
go. Amory, start. Hit us.
Deliver your report.
First of all, as you guys are Mets fans, I thought this was awesome. You guys are on fire. I mean,
yeah.
I'm really hoping for you guys. Like, 72 wins now, is it? And
I'm not sure, but I just know how many we're up.
I'm telling you it's 72 wins. I'm sorry. I'm correcting. Yes, it's 72 wins. So listen, you guys have scored at least 14 runs 5 times this season, which you haven't done since 1985, which is a year before you won a World Series, right?
When were you born, Amory?
1986.
And she's lecturing us about the Mets.
She's so young.
I'll tell you how old I am. I got my first senior citizen discount today at IHOP. Let's not talk about it. Go away, Marie.
Okay. Well, first of all, and I want to side note all this, speaking of my birthday, it's coming up September 9th.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And it's my favorite time of the year because calm before the storm, sports just start going crazy until, the next year. I can't wait. And I'm having a birthday show and birthday party at September 10th. You guys are more than invited at New York Comedy Club. I'm doing a show and then a little after party. So you're all welcome.
I'm going to be on that Utah leg of the Laughter Saves Lives tour.
September 10th.
I need everyone to bring in, my 29th birthday, my last year of my 20s.
I'm sorry. I won't be there.
I also thought
we should pay some respect to the Islanders' late coach, Coach Al Arbor. He brought you guys a lot of good stuff before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually in the middle of that. My friend of mine had season tickets, and I was a big Islander fan back in the day then. I really, after that kind of whittled off. But, their last year, what was it called? After the four, the Strive for Five.
Right.
They went for their fifth.
He had four, but he had 782 wins, which is second in NHL history.
Wow.
And then so I thought that was phenomenal, and I'm just excited. I forgot, did we discuss if you guys are excited they're moving to Brooklyn, or are you, it's whatever?
It sucks.
Like I said, I think it sucks for Long Island. Wasn't a big, Tara, you liked the Islanders, though?
Yeah, but I don't like that the fact they're in Brooklyn, though.
No, it's kind of sad.
Yeah,
you were home in 15 minutes. Now it's going to take you 4 hours to get home.
It's only professional team in Long Island, Amory,
Yeah.
I know. Well, you thought fighting was the only thing going on that can happen in hockey. The NFL preseason just has been out of control with all these fights. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention. It has been out of control from training camps to preseason games, coaches, players getting ejected. Like Baltimore Ravens, Steve Smith got ejected for the game against the Redskins. And this is his last year. He announced he's going to retire in a year. And it's crazy because his son Snapchatted. This is the first time he got to watch an NFL game with his dad. So he stayed after he was ejected. He went into the stands and watched it with his family, which I don't know if that's allowed, but I thought that was interesting.
Well, that's nice. He hung out with his son. That's kind of nice.
Cool.
Yeah, but I hope he was talking about sportsmanship. I mean,
right.
Marie, can you talk about the replay electric strike zones and all fields same size? That's a big pet peeve of mine, too.
Excuse me, that was my point. Amory doesn't even know I was going to bring this up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Amory.
But I wanted to get Amory's opinion. I'm sorry, Amory, I didn't. But my dad, as John knows, my dad is big on this. He wants electric strike zones, and you want to.
I'm big on it, yeah.
He wants electric strike zones, and he wants every field the same size. I hate both ideas because it takes away from the character of a game. I want to hear the umpire yell strike. I want to see the manager come out and argue a call. It's what baseball has been doing for years and years, and I love that part of the game. You have an electric strike zone, all you're going to hear is bing. You know, it's not going to be the same.
Let Emery answer, and then I'll get more.
Okay, I'm even sad for my generation. Okay, I know you guys make fun of my age, but even growing up in the 90s, like, sports, I still will be a diehard sports fan until the day I die. It's in my blood. But, like, sports are so ticky-tacky. There's so many rules. It is like, oh, my God. It is out of control. And I think that would be stupid because even with training, like, I was raised in New Mexico, like, supposedly, you know, with we can breathe better, run faster, athletes train there, and then you go play at sea level. I mean, whatever. What, it's not going to make it more fair. An athlete's an athlete. A team's a team. Like, who has the biggest stadium? Who has the biggest, the farthest home run? Was the Red Sox? Like, who has the...
Oh, I don't know.
Who has the biggest... Well, the Citi Field, they moved the fences in twice, but it's still pretty far.
It's still pretty
far. What, they're moving it in so they can actually win? Like, I don't understand. Like, what's the deal? Like, I just think that's ridiculous.
You're never going to see the stadiums the same size.
I don't like that. Yeah.
You're talking about billions of dollars in renovations. The only way you could do that is as new stadiums get built, you could regulate them so that in, you know, three generations you're back to say. But the electric strike zone I'm big on because these umpires are blind. They're calling balls.
Okay.
They're all wrong. Let's make it electronic so that there's no margin for error or a much tighter margin.
Don't be robots playing sports.
No, not playing them, but let's have a thing that the umpire, if it's a close one, at least the umpire has the electronic technology to make
like
the call accurate.
I want them
to have GoPro cameras on their lids, on their visors. They have got to expand the replay. They're always
I would rather
wrong.
Them. I would rather them get the call wrong and keep it balls and strikes and keep that character of the game where the umpire's behind the plate. He's calling strikes. They're coming out there arguing, they're screaming.
He could call it, but he could have a read out there that gives him the guidance on a close one.
Okay, we'll move on.
All right, we'll move on. We'll have to agree to disagree on that one.
Yes.
I guess we can all agree to disagree.
Yes.
I don't like it.
Amory.
Well, wait, what does Amory think about the electric strike zone? She didn't answer that.
I said I don't like it because I just think that's taken away from the game.
She's too young to have an opinion. I'm kidding.
What about this Cristiano Ronaldo?
Oh my God, a soccer player for Real Madrid. So he went to a wax museum in Madrid, and he saw an exact, wax figurine of himself, and he fell in love with it so much he hired a professional wax guy to do an exact replica. But this is the best part about the whole story. I guess it takes time to make a wax figure. And he sent his own hair stylist to go make sure they're doing his hair right once a month with the wax. Like, he sent his professional hair stylist to go make sure his hair game is on point in his wax figure and paid 20,000 euros for it.
You want it done right. You want a wax figure of you?
But what
no,
there'll
be too
want?
Much wax involved.
Why do you want a wax figure of yourself in your house? What are you going to do with that? Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. You wanted to say something else?
No. I was just wondering what he wanted to do with that wax figure in his house. Like, I think it'd be kind of weird. If I went over to a guy's house and he had a wax figure, I just think of himself. I think that'd be weird.
The Europeans are very big about the hair. I met Vidal Sassoon a few times, and he said to me something I'll never forget. It is you that controls your hair, not your hair that controls you. And you use Vidal products to maintain control of your hair.
Amory, as always, a home run.
Home run.
No, thank you. Thank you. I don't need no electric strike zone. I know what I hit.
Ooh, I love it.
Put that dig in there. After I throw off the hook.
It's a callback.
Yeah,
she's a comic.
I'm kidding. Happy birthday, Amory.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday.
Yes,
I'm sorry I can't be there.
I know. We can have a late celebration.
Many celebrities will be calling her for her birthday. I have a feeling.
I have a feeling, Amory.
I put in a
professional athlete will do.
Is there any other celebrities that you'd like to call? Like any celebrities you think may call Amory that you could suggest, John?
I have a feeling she'll be getting a call. It's a surprise.
Surprise. All right. Amory, you have a great night, and thank you for calling in.
Okay, thank you, guys.
The
See you next week.
The pot time, bro.
Bye.
Can I Let's get Stevie. Stevie. Yes.
Let's get Stevie Jeeby on the line.
Stevie, on line. What line is Stevie?
Hey, hey, hey.
There he is.
Oh, there's hey, one hey, of my hey. Heroes, Stevie. Yep.
The world's funniest yep. accountant.
Hey,
well, this week, what's up?
Have you been listening to our lovely program?
I've been listening. I know that James Corden is the guy that that does the Late Late Show. I know that that guy knew more about Rhode Island than I know about Long Island.
And you're the king of
I think there should be, you know, I think there should be an electric fence around Yankee Stadium for the fans that get mad when the Yankees lose once in a while, and they have to pee on the electric fence and get electrocuted. All right. That's it. That's my opinion. That's all I got.
Is that all you got?
I was watching I was watching the Met game. The Met game. They had a 12-year-old kid announcing the Met game. It was hilarious. He was better than Pete Hernandez.
He reminds me a lot of John good. Santo at a Met game.
Yes.
John Santo at a Met game.
Have you ever
game.
Gone to a Met game with John Santo?
No, I haven't. Everybody invites me. I can't leave the house unless I come home with money. I'm like a prostitute.
So gamble you think I'm game. Kidding. If you win, you come home with money.
When's your
it's
next
like, where do you go? Where are you going? You're going out? You got a gig? You're going to come home with money? You're not coming home with money? You can't go out. What are you doing? What are you thinking?
When is your next big show? Anything else you want to comment on that you heard us screw up?
Well, you didn't screw anything up. You guys are great. This is a really, really fun show. I love both of you guys. I don't know the girl, but she sounds good. I saw her on Facebook. She looks good, too.
she's
I don't know. Have we ever met? Have we ever met, Tara? I don't think we have.
No, we haven't, but you and I are Facebook friends.
I know. I have like 1,000 Facebook friends. I have three real friends.
Right? You'll take anybody you get like me.
Steve might
That's right. I even
this.
I even friend the people that try to sell me Ray-Ban sunglasses. I like them too.
Hey, Steve, who was the comedian? You probably would know. There was a comedian who said, whenever you have a radio show, there's always two guys with full names and a woman with one name. It's like, hey, it's the Z Morning Zoo with Bobby Fredericks and Tony yep. Roberts. And Ellen. And
yeah, I think Mark Maron. I think Mark Maron does a joke about that. That's pretty funny.
Who
you know, the Mark Maron.
That's who it was. I think you're right. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
You know
that
Mark Maron. You know Mark Maron.
Wait, who was it?
Mark Maron.
Maron.
Mark Maron.
No.
Maron.
No, you're a lot older than us, Steve.
Oh, come on. He's not that old. He's probably younger than you.
Who is that guy, Foster Brooks? He used to do the Dean Martin.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He was the drunk. He was the drunk.
He was good. So, Steve, did any interesting shows lately? Any experiences you want to share with us?
He's got a good one coming up.
Yeah, I got a few coming up. I've got my Welcome to Long Island show coming back. I'm doing that again. That's in September 18th. At Samantha's Little Bit of Heaven, which is actually a Christian coffee house. It's not a strip club. Don't get excited.
Oh, yes. Strip club is the first thing I was thinking.
I know. Well, that's what I thought it was. When I went in there, I thought it was a strip club, but it's a Christian coffee house.
Yeah, that's opposite. Samantha's Lot of Bit of Heaven is the strip club.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
And you so, doing any more of your... I know I saw Steve once. I brought Paula. We saw you do the Groucho Marx. What was that,
Yeah, that was fun. I'm not doing that anytime soon. I've done
job,
that like
Excellent
30
job.
Times. Yeah, thank you. That was a lot of fun. I did the Groucho Marx. And I got in October, we got a big show with Caroline Ray. So that's going to be fun.
You know, I did a show.
He's going to tell us about that. He's going to pitch that show. This is a big show for him. Tell us
Goomba,
how people can get tickets.
It's Goomba Johnny and myself and Talia Reese. And headlining is Caroline Ray. So she'll be there at the Landmark Theater in Port Washington. It's like 450-seat theater. So we're producing
tickets?
The show.
How do you get tickets, Stevie?
Oh, go to gbj.eventbrite.com.
Sorry,
I just
want
to make sure you get
I want to see. Steve is a kind of unique comic. He's an accountant-looking type guy, which he is. He's an accountant. He's, you know... and he does a lot of good Long Island humor.
Yes.
Now, have you performed off of the island a lot, Stephen? Do you need to change your act a lot when you're in another state?
Well, yeah. I don't really go out that much. I don't really. I try to stay in Suffolk County. You know, I just kind of really pretty much Holbrook. You know, I stay on my block as much as possible. But when I do leave the island, yeah, I have other material. You know, people always ask me that. What do you do when you cross a bridge? Look, I got other material, all right?
Good.
Sometimes it's John LaRocca's material. Sometimes it's John Santo's material. I got other stuff I can do.
Great, Steve. Well, we appreciate you calling. We have 60 seconds left. Is there anything else you want to plug?
60 seconds? Do you know what happened? Anne Marie took up all the time with her birthday. That's what it
I
is.
Know.
We can
I
have
know,
him back
my
on.
Goodness.
Steve is a very interesting guy to have on.
Listen, we really appreciate you holding and listening and calling because I always love to have a comic end the show to bring a few yucks, and I think you did that.
Wait, anything else you want to plug, Steve, while we still have a
No, I'm good. I'm good. You guys are wonderful. I love you both. You're terrific.
All right.
Thank you. We love you too,
thanks,
Stevie.
Thank you so much.
It was a great show. Thanks for having me.
Can we? Do we have time to bring Christina on, or do we have to get off the air? Can we bring her on for 30 seconds? Christina?
Yeah, it's all right. I only waited 20 minutes.
Yeah, we have one call left. We have about a minute. Christina, what do you want to say?
Well, nothing. You told me to call in.
You're supposed to be like a guest. It's my daughter from
Australia. A special guest? You told me to call.
It's been a good show, guys.
Okay,
but
you... Nothing. You told me to call in to talk about my colonoscopy.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that, but this morning Christina had a colonoscopy. The whole family went. We helped Christina.
It was very
fun.
I
was drinking and stuff.
Right.
Right? It's crappy. She did it like a champ, and everything was good, right, Christina?
Yeah, Mommy and Daddy helped me a lot. It really stunk, and I really hated every second of it, but it went well, and everything was good in the end. So it was a good day for all.
And it was a good day for the nurses. After anesthesia, Christina has had anesthesia in the past and has been known to swing at people when she wakes up.
Oh, wow.
Great. Yeah.
So they had to tie down. We warned them. And she woke up once, actually, and we said, are you okay, Christina? And she goes, who are you? And I go, I'm your father. And she goes, I don't have a father. So this is what anesthesia.
Funny day at the doctor's with the LaRocca family, I guess.
Is she naturally funny? Did she realize she said stunk and in the end... And she's talking about a colonoscopy. No, I picked up on it. Yeah, I'm fifth grade humor here, sorry.
She is funny, and she has a great laugh. John, I don't know if you've been at shows, but Christina's been there.
I love when she comes to shows because it makes you feel like a much better comedian.
Oh, my God.
All the comics want me to sit in the front because I have such a crazy
front
laugh.
Front row. I don't care how much the tickets are, put her up front.
And the thing is, they know my whole act. She starts laughing before I get to my punchline. It's like, ah! You know, this really loud laugh. And everybody's like,
is she the buses coming girl? Or is it your other daughter?
Listen to me. All of his stuff, he wrote none of it. I did it for him because every stupid thing I've ever done is his entire act.
And she does a lot of stupid stuff.
I do.
She's at nursing school. We're very proud of her.
That is, I'm not so stupid in there.
Was she the teriyaki or your other daughter?
She was. Yeah, my other daughter, really. Well, Christina, we appreciate you holding and calling in from upstairs.
That's great. Can you just bring up extra toilet paper when you're done?
Yes, I will. Bottoms up, Cece. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. See you later.
All right. Don is telling us we have about 90 seconds. Tara, you want to wrap it up? What are you doing this week? Anything interesting? Any games?
I know. I'm trying to think. Actually, no, during the week, it's just going to go back to work and do my usual day in, day out. And maybe over the weekend, might do some Fire Island. Actually, there's a show out in the Venetian Shores in Lindenhurst called Decadia. They're a good 80s cover band. I'm going to go see them. Nice. So, yeah.
Yeah, you do a lot of stuff. You're really cool. You're like, you know.
Thanks.
How old is your daughter?
21, which actually we played Flip Cup for the first time together this weekend.
Flip Cup. Is that a drinking game?
Yes.
Beautiful. Good role model. John, you have two young kids. Any start on any sports?
8 and 11. No, my son is playing baseball and loving it. You know,
we got just,
getting ready for next year's Little League. Keep him sharp.
All right. Well, we appreciate the callers tonight. I know we have Andrew on line four. Can we get to Andrew just to say goodnight? Andrew? Okay, Andrew, I'm sorry we couldn't get to you. A-Marie we had to get her on, but she did a good job, didn't she?
Yeah, and I wanted to try to voice, because we're going into the heart of the sports, the fall season. I was going to talk a little bit about it if I could. Maybe, I don't know if you're going to have a show on Labor Day.
I don't think we have time. Let me see, Don. We have no time left, correct? I'm trying to see from our engineer. We will get you back next show. I'm just trying to see if we have any time. No, we have to wrap it up, but I just wanted to say goodnight to you because I know you called twice. And we will get you there next time, Andrew. I apologize. All right. We're out with the Laughter Saves Lives radio show. Thank you, Tara. Thank you, John. Let's go, Mets.
Old leather gloves, slapping in hands, popcorn and peanuts, we're working the stands. Pink cotton candy, love on a stick, was chasing the beer, the trick of the lips, play ball. Load up the bases and smack it right over the wall.